for your peace, do not take them off. We started it last week, and we talked about Nehemiah. They were fighting. And then you wonder, God has made a covenant of peace. You will relax, you will be joyful, you will be happy, no wild animals, you will dwell securely. Why are you talking about fighting? We are talking about fighting, that's Paul preparing us for the war ahead. The covenant is peace. Relaxation, serenity, hopefulness. But I tell you that we have an adversary. The devil, he does not want us to enjoy the peace. That's the reason when you declare that you are a Christian, you start having turmoil in you. Paul addresses the Christians and addresses you and me this morning to be strong. And in the Lord, and in the power of his might, it's not about your own strength. The reason is that for Nehemiah, he did a physical fight and he knew how to do it. He did not give up. And the Bible records that they did not put down their armors and all the tools for fighting. Some were walking, some were fighting at the same time. But the bad thing for us is that we are not even seeing the fight. When he says strong, getting us ready. When he says not just being strong, but put on something. Put it on. And with that, may we pray. Lord God, we don't have strength, but you do. Make us stronger. We are supposed to put on something that we'll talk about this morning. Help us to put them on, God, and never to let them go. We ask you in Christ's name. Amen. Jesus said, John chapter 16, 33, and I quote, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace, the same covenant of peace. In the world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. The covenant is there. The peace I have given to you. That's my goal. That's my purpose. That's what I wish for you. That's what I want for you. So let me tell you that if you are a Christian, the peace is there. But the devil has determined that you will not have peace. St. Paul then tries to prepare you and me. Are we ready to get prepared this morning? Because we see hardships, we see afflictions, we see turmoils, we see confusions. There are things that we don't even understand happening around us. We get sick. We are emotionally disturbed. We are depressed. That's the devil doing that to you and to me. But that wasn't the original plan of the Lord for you and for me. The devil fights so hard on our journey to heaven. The devil doesn't want us to go to heaven. The devil doesn't want us to go to sleep, bed and sleep. You go to bed, you are not sleeping. But God says, my children, I give them sleep. Sleep is for God's children. But you're wondering, thinking about so many things, thinking about your job, thinking about your children, thinking about sicknesses. Because when you have peace, you have peace, you are joyful, and then the devil is not happy about it. And I am very careful how many times I mention the devil. I remember I told you here that in my other church, We talked about the devil, and one of the members was so uncomfortable, and she said, I have never heard the devil mentioned as many times as you did. And I'm not comfortable with it. Why call the devil? I call the devil because he is your adversary, your enemy, and my own enemy. And we want to tell him that we recognize his gimmicks. We do. And we are ready to fight him. So there's a war going on. And this war is between you, me, and the enemy, the devil. And let me tell you just a little bit about this war. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." That's the war. Somebody talked about this war, and that's William Gurnall. I hope I said it right. And thank you, Jane, for giving me that book. And it says, and I'm quoting, "A war between the saint and Satan. And it is such a bloody one that the cruelest, that the wicked, most wicked, and I'm not pronouncing it well, the most wicked war ever fought by men, and I say by women. It is a spiritual war, not a history of what was fought many ages past and is now over, but of a war now going on. The tragedy is present with us, and it is not taking place at a farthest place. It concerns you. It's taking place right now, and it concerns you, the Christian, and everyone. The stage on which this war is fought is every man's own heart, soul. That's where it's happening. There are no neutrals in this war. The whole world is engaged in this quarrel, either for God against Satan or for Satan against God. So when I'm talking about this war, don't think you are not part of it. Yes, you are. It's either you are with the Lord and fighting the devil, or you are with the devil and fighting God. You are in one. There's no neutral. And let me trust that you are for the Lord and fighting our enemy. Cowards will not do well in this fight. And Nehemiah told us that last week. We must first be stronger. And that's the reason we have to notice that it's happening. We have to accept that there's a war going on. For 2022, all I am praying for this church is peace. I am praying for this church to be strong in the Lord and don't let the enemy dribble you. Do a yo-yo every time you are either here or there. No, to be strong in the Lord and know that you are in the right place. Yes, you are. God himself endorses this battle. And the captain of this war is Jesus Christ. And you are not alone in this war. You are part of the army. And our captain is Jesus, and you know that Jesus will always win. And so he is in front, and the whole of the army, all the believers, are in this war. So do not ever think you are doing it by yourself, all by yourself. There is no temptation that has taken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. And so we are in the battlefield. Our opponent is on the other side with his false angels, and look at us having a captain of our salvation, Jesus Christ, being the leader in this war. And all believers, including you and me, if you have Jesus in your heart, we are following. And Jesus is telling us what to do. That's an interesting war, I'm telling you. The reason is that the war is fought by Jesus if we let him fight for us. Another thing to know about this battle is that we have cheerleaders. If we go to Hebrews 12:1 says that seeing we are so compassed about by so great a crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. So we have saints who have gone before us, who have done the fight, who have conquered, who have won. They are in heaven cheering us. And so the first thing, God endorses the fight. The second is that we have the captain of our salvation, Jesus Christ, being the leader. Another is that you are not alone. You have other soldiers with you. And then you have people who are cheering. When we are winning, they are like, yeah, just go ahead. We won, so you can win. That's an interesting battle, though. And we have to face it with joy. Because for sure, we will win. And St. Paul said, be stronger. St. Paul said, put on the complete armor. Put on the complete armor. Put on the complete armor. Okay. If you're fighting, you have to look this way. I'm sure that some of you, this is a sword, right? You know what I was trying to do? I was trying to do it this way, and it becomes the cross, right? Okay, so the full armor, if you are really in this war, and Jesus is the captain of your salvation, see how you will dress. Complete. If you lose any one of them, or if you don't have any one of them, you do not have the complete armor. And let me tell you what they are. The belt of truth. The breastplate of righteousness. Covering your whole, the poor part of this area. You have your shoes ready to go out. We'll talk about them. And then you have the shield of faith right here. So that when the devil is just giving his blows, you are, no, don't do, no, yes. If you lose this, I don't know how you will do it. That's the shield of faith. And then you have the helmet of salvation. And then you have the sword of the Spirit. As we talk about these things, please, you need every single weapon. If, for example, by mistake, you drop any one of them, pick it up. Because you'll need it. And on a daily basis. And the instruction is, do not put any one of them off until you make it to heaven. Thank you, Fessel. The whole armor of God. Are we ready to talk about them? Because they are so very important. The reason we need the whole armor is that the devil has strategies. And he uses these strategies to intimidate us. So the first thing the devil does is to coward us, just to make us, not relevant in ourselves. He will use intimidation so much so that you are no longer sure of yourself. You wake up in the morning, you don't know what to do with yourself, you are not even sure you're a believer, you are not sure what to do next, you don't believe in yourself. The devil has intimidated you. You say no to him. That's why you need all these equipment that we'll talk about in great details. Do not let the devil intimidate you. Another thing that the devil does is to use lies. The devil will lie to you. The devil will make you believe lies. But you will notice that when we start talking about these equipment and these weapons, they will tell you how to fight him back. You remember when Jesus Christ was tempted, the devil said, it is said, do this. It is said, do this. And Jesus, because he knew the word of the Lord, he used it to disorganize him. Remember in the Garden of Eden, that's exactly what the devil did to Eve. So he uses pretense. He uses all kinds of things to intimidate us. We should not let him do that. We'll talk about the belt of truth. And I'm looking at the time. We're going to talk about the belt, and then maybe we'll stop. The first armor is the belt of truth. Do we for sure know the truth? We must know the truth, and the truth will definitely set us free. When we know the truth that Jesus Christ is the way, Jesus Christ is the truth, Jesus Christ is the life. Do we really know Jesus Christ? Just look at what is going on in this world. They are now saying there's no absolute truth. Truth is relative. Whatever you say is true, is true. Whatever you say is not true, is not true. If you don't have the truth tied around your waist, that you can't go to God through any other but through Jesus Christ. That's the truth. The truth is that someone died for you and for me. That's the truth, if you believe it, and if you say you are a believer. Do you know that it is true that God loves you? That he loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, never. But the question is, do you truly believe? Do you truly have Jesus in your heart? John 1:12, as many as received him, he gives the power, the authority to become God's children. And 1 John 5 says, if you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son of God, you do not have life. Are you just a nominal Christian? Just coming to church on Sundays and you don't have a personal relationship with Christ? That's why you are dicey. And that's what the devil does. If you know Christ, and I know Christ, and all the people sitting here know Christ, we have formed the army, strong army, where Jesus Christ is the captain of our salvation. So we have to start by knowing this truth. And, I have this belt. That was my twin sister, said, because sometimes you bend and you do all these gardening and all that. We use it in our nursing something. So you tie it and it gives you this kind of, I don't know what it is in English, but in my place we say ume. It gives you this kind of strength or something around here. Support. Thank you. That's exactly what it is. He gives you this kind of support that whatever that happens, you will stand. If you're getting something from upstairs, this belt will help you. If you're bending, it's helping you. When you're sitting down, it's helping my back, like you all know that I have a hunchback. And so she said, tie it. It will help you a lot. That's what the belt of truth does. You don't care what is happening around the world, what the media is saying, you know the truth. And the Bible says, when you know the truth will set you free. If you don't know the truth, you will not be stable, for real. And for us to talk about the other, omniscience may not make sense to you. The truth is this, that Jesus Christ is here, and he's calling on all of us to come to him as we are. You have nothing to do. It's already done. Jesus already died. All we need to do is just to come. I come to you, I surrender completely to you. That's all. It's not hard. And with that, I'm going to stop. And we'll talk about the other armors, because I promised you I'll let you go so you can watch the game. So you'll be able to come next Sunday. Tell the other people, I heard that the basketball is going to be at 12 next Sunday. So they already know the whole times. And that's fine. You know, I'm fine with it. And if it's going to start at 12, I'll let you go before 12. For sure. But I want you to be here. It's very important. So I don't know how many people that really want to envelope and guard themselves with this truth. Yes, we can do it. And we can do it now if you are not sure that Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior. Let's pray together. Lord, the reason we are praying now is for us to be sure that we have the belt of truth around us. And I pray, Lord God, that each and every one of us will make up their minds to know the truth, to embrace the truth, to live by the truth, that Jesus Christ came, Jesus Christ died, Jesus Christ rose from the dead, Jesus Christ is in heaven and will come to take us to be with him. You all say after me, my Lord and my God, thank you for your love. Thank you for dying for me. Lord God, I am a sinner. I am sorry. Forgive all my sins. Cleanse me from every unrighteousness. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. You are the captain of my salvation. Write my name in the book of life. Thank you for doing this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.